Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, what are your priorities? Sudden catastrophic events can bring about a change in priorities, not only for individuals, but for a society, culture, and nation. Following the terrorist attacks on 9/11, there was a sudden outpouring of patriotism, with many people displaying American flags that had not done so previously. And then for several months in that time of anxiety, there was an increase in people turning to God in prayer and gathering together for worship. During the recent global pandemic, there was another change of priorities in our nation, with a greater stress on safety and health, and the national and state governments declaring what businesses and activities were essential. What are your priorities? A good measure of this is to look at how you spend your time and how you spend your money. In our lesson today, Jesus is talking about our priorities. He tells us that only one thing can be the most important thing in our lives. And he uses language that's familiar to us, that of service or employment. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Whom are you serving? As a Bob Dylan song puts it, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. The two masters Jesus contrasts here are God and mammon. Mammon is not a word that we use very often. It refers to money and valuable possessions. Is it possible to do both at the same time? To serve both God and mammon? Some people are foolish enough to try to do both, but Jesus makes it clear that it's impossible to be faithful to God while at the same time serving riches and making an idol of them. There can only be one master of our lives, worldly possessions and wealth, or the God who not only gave us physical life, but has saved us eternally to spend our eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus' words in our text are an explanation and an application of the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." Jesus points out the fact that many people make money and material objects their God. In service to mammon, they sacrifice their time, effort, thoughts, and energy. In the meantime, they forget the God who made them and provides for their lives. Jesus warns in Luke 12, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." In our country, we have so many material blessings that we take for granted. We may object and say, "I can think of all kinds of things I don't have." But that's just the point. We always want more, more. An endless struggle for more is just as spiritually dangerous as having too much. The temptation in our world is simply plain old-fashioned greed, putting created things on a higher pedestal than the Creator himself. Greed is, after all, a form of idolatry. It's not as though we carve idols and hide them away in closets to use in strange rituals. Our idolatry is more subtle. We are tempted to think that we are nobodies unless we drive the right kind of car, live in the right house, wear the right clothes, and little by little we become convinced that our happiness can be found in these things rather than in the God who gave these things to us. All idolatry is sin, and there's only one thing to be done with sin: confess it. This begins with repentance, by taking an honest stock of our lives. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the secret to godly contentment and fulfillment? Instead of looking for something out there somewhere that will give you genuine happiness, we are to look at what we already have in Christ. We have our whole identity and fulfillment in him. By baptism, he has wrapped us up with his death and resurrection and made us his own. He gives us freedom from sin. And we are then free to live contented lives, knowing that all good things come only from the hand of God. As those who have been brought into his kingdom of grace, Christ rules us by his word and sacrament, giving us full and free forgiveness. Jesus gives us motivation to make faith in him the number one priority in our lives, as Jesus, our master, serves us in our spiritual needs. Not only does our master serve us in our spiritual needs, but also in our temporal needs. Jesus reminds us in this chapter of Matthew that another subtle form of idolatry that threatens our faith is worrying. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. There are many day-to-day things that can become sources of worry besides the necessities of life. For example, a mother worries about her son who is out with his friends on a Friday night. She knows he's a good, responsible boy, but she worries nonetheless. So many things that could happen to him. Her husband worries about his job. Will the problems at the shop continue to increase until he's forced to look for other work? Where will he find something that pays enough to meet all the family expenses? The son in high school worries about his grades. If he doesn't pass the chemistry test, he could fail the course and never be able to get into college. His sister at college finds the classes easy, but is worried about finding somebody suitable to marry. Think about all the sleepless hours this family spends worrying. What effect does worry have on faith? Worry is an expression of unbelief. Worry shows that we think our problems are too big, not only for us to handle, but also for God to handle. Worrying indicates that we're trying to make it alone, forgetting that all good things come from God. Jesus would have us place each successive day into the hands of God, and it will bring its own help and deliverance from the love of our Heavenly Father. God's blessings are new every day. We are assured in Lamentations 3, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Why not then leave all these matters into God's hands? Let us commit our way to the Lord and trust in him. He will direct all things for our eternal good. Whether things work out exactly as we hope or some other way, our Heavenly Father is sending us those things only which he knows are in our eternal best interest. And when we have our priorities straight, seeking first God's kingdom and the righteousness which is ours by faith in Christ, God throws in our earthly needs for good measure. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Our Heavenly Father, who knows our every need, will surely take care of us. Jesus, our Master, has promised to serve us in our spiritual needs with his full and free forgiveness as he strengthens us in our faith through his word and supper. God has also promised to grant our temporal needs according to his will and timing. Instead of worrying, the scriptures invite us to pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God invites us to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for you. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your benefits that you have given us life and graciously sustained us to this day. We beseech you, do not take your blessing from us. Preserve us from covetousness, that we may serve you only, love and abide in you, and not defile ourselves by idolatrous love of wealth, but hope and trust only in your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.